as well zoom into the issues relating to Mogala Queen. If the portfolio committee agrees, I would want to request Mr. Mariba to run the presentation on my behalf. Is it acceptable? Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson, MEC, honorable members. I'll run through the presentation. We've got a few slides that we'll be going through. The presentation is as follows. We'll provide some overview of background in terms of the province. We'll then focus on the key areas in terms of state of municipalities as indicated, and then towards the end we'll then provide some updates in terms of the implementation of our back to basics, and finally we've got a number of slides which will then be providing some details on Mogala Queen municipality, the current status and the historical information. The presentation happens against the backdrop of South Africa celebrating 21 years of democracy. As a province, we are currently making preparations for the municipal audit for 2014-15. We are currently busy with the implementation of the Back to Basics program, and we are finalizing the preparations for the gazetting and publication of the Section 47 report for 14 and 15. The next slides are just an indication in terms of the legislative requirements. I will not go through them. But maybe on this one, just to indicate the legislation regarding the spatial and land use management, to indicate that the commencement date was the 1st of July 2015. And as a province, we are trying to assist municipalities that they are able to take their responsibilities in terms of SPLUMA, and also to take note of the regulations on appointments and conditions for senior managers. This is one of the areas which is currently assisting us as a province in ensuring that within municipalities, we are able to get officials who have the required competency. The policy imperatives are indicated there. I will not go through them. Limpopo is the fifth largest province and takes about 10.3% of the country's land area. And according to Census 2011, the population was at 5.4 million. But the increase is very minimal, an increase of about 0.79% between 2001 and 2011. It is comprised of 5 district municipalities and 25 local municipalities. In terms of appointment of senior managers, we would want the committee to note these areas that we highlighted in red. There is some reluctance in municipalities that are affected by the redetermination of boundaries to fill positions, key positions, senior management positions. And as a department, we are tasked to ensure that these positions are filled as and when they are vacant, but we've noticed some reluctance in those affected municipalities. But also, the finding candidates to fill their positions for chief financial officers is becoming a problem in the province. The next slide will just give an indication in terms of comparative analysis between the three financial years. To say, at the end of June for 14 and 15, the occupancy in terms of municipal managers were 77%. Compared to 87 in the 13 and 14 financial year. And also here, the challenge is as and when we move towards the end of term for the current local government, in terms of legislation, the contract of the municipal manager cannot extend beyond 1 year after the new term, and therefore, you know, with the term advert indicating 2 years contract, municipalities are finding it very difficult to then fill this position. We expect that immediately after the elections, I think most of these positions will be filled. The chief financial officers as well, there is a deep line. We were at 83, we are now at 70% at the end of June. Technical managers as well. So those three, first three positions, we've seen a decline in terms of occupancy rate between the those two financial years. In terms of development planning, that has been a constant. Corporate services manager, also a decline there, as well as community services manager. The next slide is the indication per district. In terms of the positions that have were indicated, and I think I'll go through those slides. I will not be detailed. I'll just, you know, pass through those slides. In November as well, that's the indication. Capricorn, Waterbeck, and Skukuni. But maybe here in Skukuni, just to for noting the CFOs, we've got only two at the end of the June. Two of the six CFOs were appointed, so almost four positions are vacant. And also, just to indicate, in the province, all the four districts, the CFO's positions are currently vacant. In terms of basic services provision, we're indicating the movement between census 1996 to 2011. With water, we moved from 77% to 86%. Sanitation, the information available is as of 2001, 27 to 38. Electricity, this is one area where there's been some big improvements from 39 to 87%. But refuse removal remain a challenge within the province. In the year that has just ended, there were about 367 projects that were implemented, and of those, 62% at the end of June were at tender and evaluation. 219 projects were at various stages of construction, and the next slide show that, and 86 projects have been completed. And this is also an area where the, you know, the challenge, because at the end of the financial year, we expect to have more projects completed, as well as more projects under tender in evaluation, to ensure that with the new financial year, then projects can begin with construction. The next slides are just an indication per municipality. In Ephraim Mohale, the number of projects implemented were 12. Six are currently still on construction. Three completed and three design and tender. Elias Mutualeti, 10 projects, two completed, eight on construction. Makuru Tama, 12 projects, nine completed and three on construction. Fitahomu, we've got four projects completed, one on construction. And Greater Tuluat, nine in total, one design and tender, one in construction, and four under construction and four completed. In Greater Sekukuni, we've got 19 projects that were implemented in the previous financial year, 13 are under construction, and six are under design and tender. And the rest of the districts are only just provide information in terms of the total for the district. In Mupani, we had 65 projects. 16 at the end of the financial year were design and tender, 41 construction, and 8 completed. In Wembe, we have 45 projects, 3 design and tender, 31 were under construction, and 11 were completed. Capricorn, 137 projects, 22 design and tender, 78 under construction, and 37 completed. Waterberg District, 53 in total, 11 design and tender, 34 construction, and 8 completed. We've also in the tech provided some details in terms of the funding for infrastructure for the next three financial years for the province. And the total amount there is 18.7 billion, which is available for provision of basic services. Some of the major infrastructure to be implemented for provision of basic services in the current financial year, we have indicated those: the bulk distribution pipeline from the Dewok to Steelport to be completed this financial year. Another one from Flegbushelo to Mkhalakwena is planned to start in the current financial year. The Mukolo Crocodile Water Augmentation Project, Phase 1, is planned for completion in the current financial year. And also a pipeline from Valdezia to Mokop in Makado on the Nandoni scheme has started and is earmarked for completion in 2016. There is also going to be about 56,000 households that are earmarked to be connected to the grid in the current financial year. In terms of financial viability and management, we starting by indicating the pattern, the spending pattern on MIG for the province since the beginning of MIG. It started at a very low, but then there was a steady improvement up until 2008-2009, where we peaked at 96%, and then you know we've been going down since then. And in the previous financial years, in 13 and 14, then we began picking up again. But the current expenditure is at 73 at the end of June. In January 2015, about 539.9 million was stopped from municipalities because of poor spending. But of this amount, 224 million was then reallocated to municipalities that had shown good spending patterns within the province. At the end of the financial year, our spending, like we've indicated, was 73%, and 753.9 million remain unspent. We also want to indicate that we've got six municipalities that have spent 100%, and another six municipalities that have spent between 90% and 100%. So at least we've got about 12 municipalities that we can say, you know, have managed to really move in terms of spending their allocated grants. As a province, we're not doing well compared to other provinces, and this slide just indicates, you know, the expenditure for the province is quite low. It's the lowest within the province, and probably maybe that's why MEC, we have another meeting in another room here with the select committee on appropriations on MIG. The next slides are expenditure per the municipality, and I think the information is quite clear in terms of, I wouldn't go through them. Mupani, Zembe, Capricorn, Waterberg, and this is just to indicate in terms of the districts. I will then move to areas of the audit, just to indicate in the past audit year, 13 and 14, we had six municipalities that had disclaimers, one adverse, 11 qualified. But we, as a province, there was good improvement in terms of unqualified audits if we compare to actually all the previous years, as indicated, 9 and 10, 10, 11. because in 9 and 10 we had 9, 10, 11 we had 3, 11 and 12 we had 1, 12 and 13 there was nothing, but then in 13 and 14 we had 12 municipalities that were unqualified, and we, through the Back to Basic program, we actually, you know, assisting those municipalities to ensure that they do not regress, but then we move those 11 that are qualified to actually, you know, move up to the unqualified. The next slide is the details in terms of which municipalities fall within which category in the 13 and 14 audit financial year. Provincial Treasury also, with regard to provision of basic services, they did an assessment of the municipal budget for 15 and 16, just to have a feel. And the here we're just indicating that the MFMA indicates that the mayor of the municipality must table the annual budget at a council meeting, and Provincial Treasury then after the tabling of those budgets assessed 27 of those. Mukhalakwena, with the challenges, I think the mayor has indicated that, you know, he's still new. There was some delay in preparations of those reports, and Lukwane was assessed by National Treasury. The criteria there in the main was, you know, the, in terms of credibility of the budget, the relevance, and sustainability. And the observation in terms of credibility of the budget, that were, it was, you know, found that the funding compliance measurement table indicated that municipal budgets are funded. However, there were insufficient underlying assumptions. The revenue projections over the MTRF period was increased on static percentage without considering the changing economic factors. There was also poor alignment of the DORA conditional grant in the budget schedule. And the proposed tariffs were either not cost reflective or did not consider the community, the affordability within the community. And there were no contingency plans in place, you know, in terms of the budget for the power outages that could actually result in the loss of revenue. In terms of relevance, the observations, municipal budgets were generally linked to national priorities. The documents and schedules, some were not complete, and they distort the linkages between the IDP as well as the SPLUMA. Departments, one of the challenges, you know, not sending officials with sufficient knowledge to the IDP participation session, and this, you know, affected municipalities in terms of their IDPs, the sector department involvement. Service standards for municipalities were not submitted in some to council. And in terms of sustainability, the poor revenue collection and in most municipalities in the province, which rendered municipalities unable to meet short-term financial obligations. There was also insufficient budget that has been provided for repairs and maintenance. And if infrastructure is not sustainable, then the provision of basic services become affected. Even if we are able to put in new infrastructure and we are able to spend on our grants, if there is no, you know, operations and maintenance of those infrastructure, then the provision of services still get affected. There was also limited usage of number of households and future expected number of households in the budgeting process. There were certain risks as well that were identified that might affect the budget implementation. And these are, you know, the unavailability of land for development, aging infrastructure, land invasion, illegal businesses, poor revenue collection, underutilization of infrastructure. If the infrastructure is completed, for example, the borehole that has to provide water and it needs to be energized, and it's not energized, it means that revenue from that water cannot be realized. Quantification and disclosure of distribution losses, cash flow management, but also, you know, community protests that may result in fruitful and wasteful expenditure. In terms of the analysis, you know, in conclusion, then provincial treasury then indicated that together with COXA, we'll embark in assisting municipality during the budget IDP review process to ensure credibility, relevance, and sustainability, to also ensure the assumption used to determine the revenue and expenditure budget projection are sufficient and justified. In terms of local economic development, in the main, is the community work program that is being implemented in our municipality, and we're seeing 22,000 work opportunities were created, and four municipalities, Musina, Greater Lisaba, Elias Mutualeti, and Polokwane, were added to the implementation of a community work program, and with an anticipated creation of 2,000 work opportunities. All municipalities in the province, their LED strategies have been assessed and the district forums are functional. Good governance, municipal councils and committees are functional, and the IGF district forum are functional. In the main, the attendance of local municipalities to this IGR forum has been identified as a challenge, but then during the premier intergovernmental forum that was recently held, one of the resolutions was to ensure the attendance of local municipalities to those forums to ensure that issues are then discussed and escalated to the province. The functionality of impacts all municipalities in the province have established municipal public account committees, but as a province we're still assisting them to ensure the functionality, but also that as and when the annual work program has been developed, they have to be implemented, because sometimes you have the annual work program but then it's not followed suit. And if we can improve on that, I think the accountability will actually increase. I'll then move to the implementation of the Back to Basics program. Just to start by indicating that it was launched in December 2014. Both the provincial task team and the district team have been established. The assessments were done. And the last assessment that was done, in terms of categorization, we had 10 municipalities that were categorized as dysfunctional, and for those municipalities, then there were strategies that were put in place to try and assist those municipalities, and the next slide will be dealing with those. In terms of Vembe, a rapid assessment was conducted, but also COXA seconded the municipal manager. And currently, the financial status of the municipality is stabilizing. Akhanang, there were some protests by officials, poor relations between labor and management. But as COXA and provincial treasury, we then managed to assist them with the compilation of the annual financial statements, as well as engagement with the labor, and currently the situation is normalized. In Tuvas, COXA has seconded a municipal manager and the CFO, and the municipal manager was able to finalize the process of the appointment of the full-time on contract, the municipal manager. This has been finalized, and the other positions are currently being finalized in terms of appointments, and the municipality is beginning to stabilize as well. In Mopani, there were also some challenges wherein even National Treasury had to withhold some of the MIG money. As a province, then the municipal manager from provincial treasury, an official from provincial treasury, was seconded to the municipality, and rapid assessment was also conducted. Currently, the financial standing of the municipality is stable, and most of the Section 56 positions have been appointed, and payments for service providers for work done are currently happening. So the contractors who had left site because of non-payment, they are all back on site. Tabazimbi, we have recently just done a rapid assessment, and the report is being finalized. It's one of the municipalities where we've got challenges in terms of the provision of basic services. The MIG grant was being also used for operational purposes, and therefore National Treasury has, since the previous financial year, including the current financial year, has not been transferring the MIG money to the municipality. We hope with the finalization of the processing of the rapid assessment report, we should be in a position to know exactly how to intervene, how to assist the municipality, so that services can begin to be provided and those infrastructure projects can start moving. Polokwane, in the main, I think the most challenging one was issues related to billing, and they've been assisted with through provincial treasury. And currently there are quite a few queries and the revenue has been enhanced. Kukuni as well, the issues related to delivery of basic services, the municipality has also been losing quite a lot of money back to the national fiscals in terms of MIG. We there was a dedicated support team on technical services by COXA and the Department of Water and Sanitation. The technical reports have been they've been assisted, they've been approved, projects have been registered, and for projects for the 15 and 16 the approved projects have been advertised. But maybe just to indicate, currently there are some challenges with the implementation of projects that were implemented in the previous financial year, but the municipality is currently dealing with those with the assistance of both provincial treasury and national treasury. Mokopong, the rapid assessment was conducted, the recommendations were monitored through the B2B, but with the support that was provided to the municipality, there was an additional MIG funding for about 27 million that was secured for the municipality to then deal with two critical issues: the diversion of a water pipeline which was passing through the farms, and there were a lot of illegal connections there, as well as the repairs to the sewer system. So that funding has been provided, and the municipality is finalizing the attending to those two items. I think with regard to Mogalakwena, I'll speak, we've got a detailed report on Mogalakwena. Ephraim Mogale as well, the department did second an acting municipal manager for a while, but we're happy to report that the MM has been appointed, service providers are being appointed to then deal with projects, and also the other Section 56 managers, the process is quite moving well. There are some of the concerns in terms of from the municipality to and the support to be provided. And one of those is the inability to attract and maintain suitable skills in rural municipalities. I've already spoken about the second item in terms of the municipal manager's position, you know, the 3-year contract issues. But financial management with particular reference to revenue generation capacity of municipalities is also one of the areas of concern, especially in the rural municipalities. What are the next steps? We, as a province, based on the process or the progress that we've actually attained, we're going to review the current categorization of the municipalities to check which municipality still remain dysfunctional, which ones are under potential to do well, and which ones are doing well, so that we can then have a dedicated, focused attention to those that would be dysfunctional. But we also in the process of mobilizing, you know, funding for the development of better plans to ensure that as and when we move into the new electoral cycle, the municipalities have 5-year sector plan for all the related sectors. Together with provincial treasury, there will be a dedicated monitoring of supply chain management procurement to ensure that, you know, adherence to timeline is done, and also assist municipalities that are affected with the redetermination. The state of service delivery in Mukhalakwena local municipality. The first slide there, just in terms of the background, to indicate where the municipality is situated, the geographical area, 6,166 square kilometers. And this municipality constitutes 45% of the Waterberg District municipality's total population, consists of 3 proclaimed townships and 178 villages, and also covers a range of other smaller settlements in the area between Mukopane and Rivoni. The development in Mukhalakwena is based on 3 economic pillars: tourism, agriculture, and mining. In terms of governance, the municipality is constituted of 32 wards with 63 councillors. 32 are ward councillors and 31 peer councillors. Of those, 52 ANC, 6 Democratic Alliance, 2 COPE, 1 ACC, 1 Freedom Front Plus, and 1 AZAPO. It should also be noted that there was some instability within the municipality, which resulted in the 23 ANC councillors being expelled. The by-elections were held in November, and with these by-elections, the ANC retained the 13 wards. There was also political intervention to address the instability within the municipality, and the restructuring culminated in the appointment of the mayor, the speaker, and the chief whip, as they've been introduced at the start of this meeting. It should, however, be noted that the working relation between councillors is currently healthy and sound. All councillors, irrespective of their political affiliation, are collectively providing leadership to the municipality. The annual schedule of council committee meetings was adopted, and EXCO and council meetings are held as the approved schedule. Council is also performing its function as per Section 162 of the Constitution, and the portfolio committees are meeting on monthly basis as per schedule. The MPEG is also established and functional, and 4 meetings have been held since June 2015. In terms of public participation, the quarterly schedule for the mayoral imbizo has been approved. 32 ward committees have been established. 19 are functional and 13 are dysfunctional, but the 13, the municipalities in the process of resuscitating those committees. There are 9 traditional leaders within the jurisdiction of Mukhalakwena local municipality. And in the past, I think, you know, they refrain from participating in council activities, but they've been engaged by the new leadership and part, and are now part of the activities of council. In terms of institutional capacity, there are 5 vacancies as follows. The municipal manager, the position has been advertised and shortlisting will be conducted by end of this month. The chief financial officer resigned on the 9th of July, and the position will be advertised. Corporate support services, the position will be re-advertised. The panel recommended the re-advert. Traffic and emergency, awaiting finalization of the appointment, as well as technical services. The manager development and planning is on suspension, and disciplinary hearings are continuing. In terms of basic service delivery, electrical services, Kalakwena has a license to supply electricity to an area as indicated, and out of the 79,000 households, 71,000 are electrified. So the current backlog is quite minimal, it's just 9% compared to the other municipalities within the province. And together with ESCOM, the municipality is embarking on a program to reduce this backlog by 2020. And the rest is just to indicate in terms of, you know, what the municipality is doing to achieve the set target. The construction of the Buruto substation. Also, the significant progress that has been made to upgrade ESCOM's distribution to 50 MVA, which will allow for growth in all areas around Mukopani, at least for the next 10 years. The development of the medium to long-term energy master plan, and the municipality has increased the human resource capacity with the appointment of 4 electricians and 1 handyman. And the challenge there, I think, as indicated, is with regard to spending of the 6% of income generated from sale of electricity, which must be spent on operations and maintenance and refurbishment of aging infrastructure. The municipality is going to review the status quo and consider same during the midterm budget to ensure that these directives of NESA are met. In the current financial year, the municipality is going to install 26 high-mast lights to the value of 6.5 million. With regard to water provision, the municipality is the water service authority and the water service provider. And 84% of the municipal area is dependent on boreholes for water source. And these 178 villages are in the main supply from borehole water sources. The total number of households with access to water is 92%, so the backlog also is around 80%, and at the bottom there is just an indication of the current water challenges, which shows that the demand is 32 megaliters per day, and the peak is 42 megaliters per day, but the supply is only 24 megaliters per day. So the project that I've indicated previously as a major project to provide water to Mukopane is very critical to ensure that this gap, the deficit, is actually closed. Land water supply intervention. Those are the, you know, interventions that have been indicated there, the installation of infrastructure in those extensions, water tankering, additional 5 megaliters per day from the Doran Dry Dam, which is being negotiated with the mining fraternity to try and close that, you know, emerging current existing critical gap. The equipping of boreholes, but I think think the permanent solution, as I've already indicated in terms of the project, the water supply line from Flag Bushelo Dam to Mukopane. Those are just also some of the challenges in terms of, you know, the transformer, the theft, the breakages, poor relation between the pump operators and the community leaders, illegal connections, aging infrastructure, and the insufficient capacity that we've already indicated. However, the rollout of the bulk water infrastructure in all the settlement will mitigate, you know, assist in mitigating some of those challenges. Sourcing of the bulk water from Flag Bushelo, and procuring a term contract for supply and maintenance of machinery. In terms of sanitation, the current backlog is 42%, and there's quite a number of VIP sanitation units that must still be installed. Currently, the municipality is also building an additional 10 megaliter sewer plant at Masodi. This plant will, I think, relieve some pressure from the existing plant in town. In terms of rural sanitation, those are the projects that were done for 2014 and 2015, 500 VIPs. And the district provided 75 additional, and in the current financial year, the plan is to provide additional 500 VIP units. In terms of road and stormwater, the municipality has a road network of approximately 1,400 kilometers, and 10 kilometers will be surfaced through MIG in the current financial year. A portion of the 752 kilometers will be re-graveled, and consultations with stakeholders and property owners has been started who may be affected by the process. In terms of solid waste, the municipality has two approved landfill sites located in Mukopane and Rivoni. There are challenges at the existing landfill site which necessitated the development of a sustainability plan. The Likema waste management program has been introduced to assist in waste collection and clearing of strategic identified areas, resulting in creation of temporary jobs for the youth. In terms of housing, the COPSA has allocated 970 housing units for 14 and 15, 327 completed and handed over, and 643 are still under construction. Mukalakwena municipality is embarking on a clear strategic and sustainable approach to in the delivery of bulk services. And the municipality has embarked on clustering of small projects rather than doing small pieces of projects to cluster them to make them more cost effective, but also ensure future efficient maintenance and operation. The strategic decision to develop the infrastructure master plan is now bringing intended results and thus improving the readiness to accommodate the envisaged development in the municipality. And the next slide just indicates, you know, in terms of the progress with those master plans. Bulk water services is completed, internal recirculation is being developed, waste water services completed, road and stormwater draft stage, electricity is currently being developed, on-site sanitation for rural areas been completed at macro level, and water conservation and water demand management also completed at macro level. There are also some challenges with regard to informal and relocated settlements. The municipality has three informal settlements, Zobane, Old Khatila, and Old Khapuka, where community members have erected structures that are not formalized. And the housing units there are estimated to be between 4 and 5,000. There is currently no infrastructure for basic services, and the municipality has put temporary measures to provide services, which are not adequate as it will be if settlements were formalized. So there is a need to then deal with these challenges in settlements that were relocated by Anglo Flood. These settlements, as indicated, were relocated by the mine and are now experiencing inadequate supply of water as well as wastewater. The mining company did not address the above stated challenges at the time of relocation. However, the municipality is engaging the mining company and the affected communities to work out a long-lasting solution. With regard to financial management, the municipality has in the past 5 years achieved 4 unqualified and 1 qualified audit report. The achievement was as a result of adequate internal control and competent senior staff. The municipality is currently finalizing the AFS for the 14 and 15 audits and is assisted by a consultant to compile the AFS debt collection and debt recovery. In the 14 and 15 financial year, the municipality projected to collect 85% of revenue. However, the collection was 65.9%. So the billing system is currently being reviewed to improve the collection rate, and efforts will also include measures to reduce the existing debt through engagement with ratepayers. The indigent register was improved, and in the last 2 weeks of the 14 and 15 financial year, the municipality experienced financial fraud amounting to 5.7 million. A case was opened with the South African Police Services, and the incident was also reported to the Provincial Treasury and the Office of the AG. In terms of debt, those are the government departments that owe the municipality, but as a province, maybe just to indicate that we've got a provincial debt forum where municipalities are being assisted to ensure that the sector departments then, you know, pay their dues. The spending on the municipal infrastructure grants, the allocation for the municipality for 14 and 15 was 138. But I think from what we've indicated, because of the challenges that were there, the municipality projects were not moving. About 25 million was withdrawn due to failure to spend within the threshold by mid-year, with a balance of 113 million remaining. And the expenditure is as indicated there. But in the previous 2 financial years, the municipality managed to spend 100%. The second part is in terms of how the province, the national department, and Mogalakwena work together to bring stability within the municipality. It's about 10 more slides and I'll be done. I'm trying to be very fast. Yeah, so that is not about swimming only. I'm trying to address all the questions.
Okay, okay.
The challenges in the municipality reached a climax in July 2013. The municipal council took a resolution to place the municipal manager on special leave, and the reason was due to the validity of the employment contract. COGSTA then sent a team to do a rapid assessment. The assessment was done, and based on the assessment, Provincial EXCO resolved to put the municipality under section 1391B. However, the appointed administrator was refused entry to the municipal premises, and the municipality took the provincial government to court. Also, the ruling party initiated disciplinary proceedings against the 23 councillors, who were then expelled. The councillors refused to vacate their offices, and the councillors, together with 10 councillors from other opposition parties, they then took continued to take council resolution and implement them. However, because of the vacancies that were declared, then there were by-elections that were held, and these by-elections were successfully held. The expected councillor and the suspended municipal manager then resorted to the court for relief, resulting in about 8 cases that were then went before the court. After the by-elections were held, then a new council resolved to request COXA to second the municipal manager. And upon secondment, COXA National and COXA then set up an intervention team, which identified a number of issues within the municipality. I won't go through them. And after that identification, there was an intervention package that was then developed for the municipality in order to address the political and administrative instability that has led to lack of service delivery in the municipality. There were 4 work streams that were established: basic services, performance assessment, financial management, human resources, and legal. After the suspension of the municipal manager and the reporting to work of the seconded municipal manager from COXA, there were officials that stopped reporting to work from the 24th of November. However, some started reporting to work from the 15th of January. And on Wednesday, the 25th of February, all employees reported to work. The municipality implemented the no work, no pay rule for the 3 months, and 187 officials that were affected by the no work, no pay rule, they took the municipality to court, and the judgment favored the municipality. The last highlighted item we reporting that as part of this reintegration that I've indicated of officials coming back to work, up until the 25th. As part of this reintegration, a mediator was appointed by COXA National to normalize the situation in ensuring the smooth running of the municipality. So this official then mediated between the municipality and the officials that were not reporting for work to ensure the smooth integration as and when they report for work. When the seconded municipal manager started working at the municipality, we were saying there were 8 cases that were pending. However, because some of these cases involved the municipality as a co-applicant, the municipality was advised to then withdraw the 6 cases. The 2 cases that were launched by the municipality as sole applicants were then left to run their course in court. The first one being the decision of ESCO to intervene in Mokgalakwena municipality and the application against the South African Police Services and the newly sworn in councillors for an order to vacate the municipal premises. The case relating to the decision to intervene in terms of section 1391B is still pending, and the application against the FACS was set down for 11 May for the extension of the interdict and was finalized on the set date when the court discharged the interdict. The former municipal manager has since set down one of the applications referred to above, which application was dismissed on the 23rd of December 2014 for lack of aging. In the third application, he was challenging the validity of the decision taken by counsel and the secondment of an official by the department to act as municipal manager. The third application set down 7 July 2015 and has since been removed as same was set down for an unopposed motion roll. I think we've already, you know, reported this as and when I was presenting the details in terms of the provision of services by Mogalakwena. But the intervention in terms of the new PMT has brought stability in both council and administration. And the municipality is currently working on a healing process and rebuilding itself to restore community confidence. Chair, my last slide. The municipality is embarking on a process of healing and rebuilding. Interventions were made to stabilize the institution. As COXA, we are finalizing the appointment of service provider to conduct a forensic audit. And this audit will be to consolidate the finding of the previous reports. There's been quite a number of reports in order to implement the recommendations. We're working towards regaining community confidence and striving for excellence in service provision. And the future of Mogalakwena Local Municipality is tied to our unwavering commitment, hard work, and forging human solidarity with the people of Mogalakwena and the private sector partnership. Thank you.
Maybe the small thing which I feel I need to brief the portfolio committee, because you might say, but why didn't we talk about it, is the issue of reconfiguration of municipality. How is Limpopo affected by the reconfiguration of the process? In Limpopo, we currently have 25 local municipalities within the 5 districts. But now with the intervention by the minister of reducing the number of municipalities in the country, the proposal was to reduce 5 of the local municipalities so that we remain with 20. But what the board is sitting with is in Waterberg, we are disestablishing the Mogopong and it's going to amalgamate with Modimolle into one municipality. In Skukune, Fetahomu is being disestablished and it's going to amalgamate with Tubas as one municipality. In Capricorn, Akhanang municipality is being disestablished. It's going to, part of Akhanang will go to Bloberg and part of Akhanang will go to Polokwan. Mopani, there was initially a proposal to reestablish Maruleng, but the board has since said, as far as they were concerned, there were not sufficient information and they think municipality was doing fairly well for now. We mustn't deal with that matter for now. We must wait until after local government elections. So in Mopani, the local municipalities will remain 5, which is Maruleng, Bapala Borwa, Giani, Ledaba, and Zani. So Bapala Borwa, Maruleng will remain as is. There is a reconfiguration in Vembe. In Vembe is where we have got a little kind of a challenge. Because then they were disestablishing Motale. Part of Motale is going to Mofena, and a part of Motale is going to Tulamela. Now the board is saying, while they're taking the other part of Motale into Tulamela, Tulamela is one of the biggest municipalities. As we speak, is the biggest in the province, with more than 40 wards. Now, once they take the other part of Motale into Tulamela, it means the municipality is going to be bigger to manage. Therefore, they are recommending for a new municipality which will take the part of Malamlele and some part of Vuani and Makado. So that fourth municipality is on the table. It's been discussed. When those are the objections that have been made now, we wait for the board to conclude the process. In the three, in Capricorn, Akhanang, challenges, as well as on Mohopong in Waterbeck, there are no more challenges, as well as Pitahong in Skukuni. And Mopane now, because there were disagreements, I think the situation has stabilized because they know they are not affected by the reconfiguration. The big challenge is in Vembe. Remember there was Malamlele. So the people of Malamlele, they think it's the fourth municipality is their municipality. Because it's taking 14 from the Malamlele part and 5 from both Tulamela and Makado. So they think it's the municipality. So Vuan is saying, we can't go and be part of the new entity, that, and we are coming from Makado. We think Makado is doing well. Why are we taken to the new entity? So Vuan is now brewing. But the worrying factor is the matter is taking a tribal life, that those that are in Vuan are saying, now we are vendors, we can't go and join the Malamlele Washangan. So I'm just saying, this is what we are sitting with. You might have seen in the media, the Vuan people and traditional leaders are really saying we don't want to be part of that. But we don't know what will be the final outcome of the demarcations board. So I felt I needed to brief the portfolio committee on that matter as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much, MEC and the chief, the mayor and the speaker, the chief whip, Mahalakwena. Madam, it seems Mahalakwena is resolved. Yes, it seems it's resolved now. It seems everything is working. And I know that we are very passionate about the resolution of the problem of Mahalakwena. Now is resolved, and of course the issue of demarcation is a challenge, and hopefully the leadership will manage it well. Let us allow colleagues to comment, to pose some questions, make proposals. The new mayor is here, honorable mayor. You are welcome. Chief Reposo is welcome. You're welcome. They're doing well. From Sandra, they're doing well. We are very happy now. I know that we don't say anything in family, but we still go there. No contribution at all. No, still from the things are moving okay. Let us hear what colleagues are saying, what comments you want to make. Honorable Melham. Honorable Masondo, Tetwa, now Kapulan, Fem, everyone. That enough.
Bye. So, before we start, can I just ask a direct question, because it contextualizes everything else.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure whether the MEC or the officials will be able to answer it. How many municipalities and which municipalities are currently under administration in Limpopo? That's because that will then contextualize everything else.
Anderson?
Thanks. The municipalities that were under administration was Mohalakwena and Vaphalabola. Vaphalabola was put under administration on the basis that they could not have the evaluation role adopted on time. So in the previous financial year, they could not levy rates. That's the reason why it was put under Section 139. But as we speak, EXCO is now considering to remove it, because in the year that they were put under administration, they were able to deal with the matter. And as we speak, from the 1st of July, they are now having the evaluation role that is credible, that they are now living rate. The second one was Mohalakwena, which unfortunately it was put under the Court of Law for a review process, which the new council is still dealing with.
The court has not decided.
Not yet.
Then brings me to the question. I'm not sure there's page 20 in the pack, but I'm not sure what the slide number is. In the assessment of the 2015-2016 municipal budget, there's a statement that Mokalakwena and Greater Tsubase did not submit their budgets in time for assessment. Now, Section 139(4) of the Constitution requires that a provincial government must intervene where budgets are not submitted on time. And I would be very interested to know why there has been no intervention in Greater Tobago. Chair, if I can just go back a little bit to some of the other concerns that I have. If I look at the expenditure patterns of the municipality, and in particular the ones that aren't spending their budget, the ones that are having difficulties with their audits, etc., there is a direct correlation, and we saw this last week when we had the Auditor General here, with the vacancies at senior management level, primarily municipal manager and chief financial officer level. And again, here we see that the same municipalities that are having problems are the municipalities that are not spending their money or that are having audit problems, etc. I did hear the concerns and the issues raised with finding people. I do think that that is somewhat of a misleading argument, in that if someone is appointed for a two-year period or a one-and-a-half-year period until 1 year after the election, their contract could then be renewed. Every municipal manager, every senior official, every Section 57 official is on a limited term contract, and I don't think that this would be any different in these cases. So I don't think that the period of the contract so much is the issue as the ability to find people that are capable of doing the job. Chair, I am very concerned about the underspending in municipalities in the province on MIG. Limpopo has the lowest expenditure of its MIG grant of any of the provinces, and as at June, $753 million. Now, that is directly contributing to a lack of service delivery, and I have major concerns in that regard, and I'd be interested to know what is being done about this. And there are a number of municipalities that stand out. Sekukune District Municipality, Mopane District Municipality, I'm not sure if I'm going to pronounce this right, Lepele Nkumpi, is that right? Tabazimbi, 16% expenditure of their MIG grant. That's unacceptable. And Waterberg District, zero. They spent nothing of their MIG. That's a major problem. I do note the improvements on audit outcomes, and I think that's to be commended. As we said last week, an improvement on audit outcomes doesn't mean an improvement in the finances of the municipality. It just means that they're actually reporting properly what is happening. Chair, then, let me leave the province and turn to Mogalakwena, if I may. There are a number of issues that still haven't been answered with regard to Mogalakwena. You will recall that during the, for want of a better word, the unrest that was occurring there at the end of last year, I'm talking about the October-November timeframe, there were police intervention, there were court cases, there were court orders, etc. So my first question is, who authorized the police presence at Mogalakwena Municipality, and on what legal basis? The second question is, there were a number of court orders that interdicted the MEC, that interdicted the former mayor and 13 councillors, that interdicted the police from interfering with the municipality from conducting its business. And I realized that that order was not extended, but there were those orders. Now, it appears that they were observed in the breach. In other words, that they were just ignored. Those court orders were ignored, and I'd welcome some comments on that. On the same issue, there was a council meeting at which the, let's call them the newly elected ward councillors, the ones that won their by-election, were present to make a quorum, and they were required to make a quorum at that meeting. However, they had not yet been sworn in. And apparently it was on the advice of the MEC that because they were reflecting as councillors on the IEC's role, they were councillors and therefore they did counsel for him. Now, on any legal basis, that's not valid at all. So I'd welcome some input on that. Just on the fraud issue that was referred to, it was said that 5.7 million rand of fraud in the last 2 weeks of the 2014-15 financial year was experienced. And I welcome some input as to whether or not any effort was made to recover that funding in terms of Section 32 of the MFMA, and if so, what has been the outcome in that regard. Then, again with regard to the court cases, and I'm now talking about the six cases that the municipality allegedly withdrew. Let's say they withdrew. They were only one of the applicants. I apologize. They were only one of the applicants. The other applicants were the former municipal manager and the expelled councillors. So surely those cases are still on the roll. Surely those cases still have to go forward. Only the municipality has withdrawn as an applicant, not all of the applicants. I'm not sure I understand why those cases have not been heard. And then, with regard to the very last item on the cases, and that is, I don't understand the paragraph, I don't understand what is being said here. The former municipal manager has since set down one of the applications referred to above, which application was dismissed on 23rd December for a lack of urgency. Okay, so they said it's not an urgent application, it must go through the normal court process. That I understand. He was challenging the validity of decisions taken by council and the secondment of an official by the department to act as a municipal manager. Fine. So the application was then set down on a court roll, on an unopposed roll, for the 7th of July. If it was set down on an unopposed roll, why didn't it get heard? Where was, what happened? It wasn't withdrawn, it was set down for a hearing. I'm not sure I understand what this paragraph is trying to tell us here. So just one last point with regard to the legal issues. It concerns me that political infighting within one political party, and I'm not going to name names here, but within one political party, has cost this municipality over 20 million rand in the current financial year. Now that is ridiculous, and unfortunately it needs to be driven home to all political role players that we can't have these kind of situations playing out, that where there is a change of management or a change of leadership, there must be a smooth transition of power. And I'm worried that Limpopo seems to be one of the areas where we are failing in this very, very badly. Everything I see seems to point to a lack of leadership at a top level with regard to Limpopo. I'm not going to comment on the demarcation. I know we're seeing the demarcation board in a couple of weeks' time, so I'm not going to even go to that issue now. We'll talk to the demarcation board about those issues. Chair, I'd really welcome some input on those questions.
Okay. There were many questions. Far better to allow the leadership to answer some of the questions. MEC, you want to start?
Chair, thanks very much. I want to start and say we appreciate the questions that have been raised. But I think I want to start with the last one. That if indeed when there is a political infighting, political parties, all of them must take responsibility. Because in Mogalakwena, what came about, it was clear that the infighting of another political party was influenced by other political parties as well. Because at some point, members of those political parties were in court as witnesses and putting statements. Right? Maybe to be specific, when the ANC councillors were fighting, DA was part of assisting the fight to proceed. Because some members of the DA in some of the courts, they were there as people who are really been part of putting those statements. So at some point, we're as one worried that if a specific political party has got its own issues, especially if we're governing together, it is important that other political parties do not become part of those issues as well. Maybe to be specific, Chair, if indeed that there were issues that the municipal manager has been siding with the expelled councillors at some point, but the Structures Act and the law was followed fully. Remember, when a by-election is declared, when IEC announces results, those people are councillors automatically. Once they announce the results, those people are declared as councillors elected. Now, can I finish?
Yes, please.
Allow me to finish. The process that was done was taken to court, and whoever has taken that process to court has lost it. The reason why Mogalakwena is now stabilizing is the process that was followed to convene council, how people participated in the council, what resolutions were made, were taken for a test at the court of law. And that case was lost by those people who had taken that matter to court. It was tested in front of court of law. Because they were saying, no, these resolutions were not legal, the process was not followed to the letter, and so forth. But that matter was taken to court. The issue that says who sent the police as well was a matter in front of court, which whoever was alleging that somebody has called the police to the municipality as well. It was not the MEC. Maybe let me say that. The MEC has never instructed police to go to the municipality. But you must remember that as and when either the property of government or other people feel threatened that anything can be in danger, anyway, the police has to come in. So in the situation where the police went in, it was not through any instruction of the MEC. And that matter has been finalized that it was even wrong to interdict the police. So the matter has been finalized, it was wrong, and the police has won the case as we speak. The cases that have been withdrawn are the ones that the municipal manager was lodging, representing council as the main person. Remember, when the council stabilized, there were issues that the municipality felt the municipal manager was taking powers which was not belonging to him, where because of the relationship and other issues, the municipal manager was taken for a disciplinary process and he was expelled. He went to court to fight his expulsion. He lost the case. So I'm just saying the report shows you that out of all the cases that were there are still only two that are still remaining, which is the issue relating to the Section 139 and the I can't remember the other one. No, the police one was finalized in July. The one was set down, it was finalized. The police won the case. Where you... It was not? What? No.
All that happened was that you're not going to extend it.
Did not submit their budget on time, why they were not put under administration, is because the report on Back to Basics is clear what interventions are being made. Because remember, to put a municipality under administration is a process. You don't just put, you must set up a process, make sure that you have assisted. Once you have failed, then you can be able to say, now I'm taking over. But we think with the work that has been done with the municipality in terms of the report, that shows you the municipality was assisting, which we are using the back to basic processes. We are assisting those municipalities, and we think they are coming the right way. In terms of the expenditure, if you see the municipalities that are not spending, I think we've shown you the graph that when did the situation started deteriorating. Remember, the Limpopo province was under administration as a provincial government. There were challenges that have affected municipalities as well in that process. But we're happy to say after the launch of Back to Basics, we're able to zoom into specific areas where there are challenges. And those municipalities that have challenges, if you are Mopane, if you are Skukune, where we are working with them to be specific on the issues that affect them for not spending. One of the things that have affected their non-expenditure is the issues of registering projects on time. As we speak, 90% of the projects for the next financial year has been finalized, and we are sure that the situation obviously is going to change in this coming financial year. So we are working with those municipalities to turn things around in areas where there were weaknesses. And that has been a decision of both the Premier Intergovernmental Forum and ourselves as the department, and we're working with the Department of Water and Sanitation. We just held our water summit, a provincial water summit, where some of the resolutions were taken there, because most of the projects that were not registered on time were water-related issues. And now we've established a team with the Department of Water and Sanitation, where the Lepelle Water Board has been identified as one of the key stakeholders who will be able to assist in bringing the capacity of helping those municipalities to be able to register their projects on time. I am not sure the mayor is here if there are other issues that the mayor wants to deal with. Mm.
Comrade Mayor.
Thank you, Chairperson.
That's you, Comrade, and Honorable interchangeably.
Don't
feel offended. When I come there, then say, man, this comrade called me a comrade. Can take the floor. It was a broad issue that was raised, though. That must also comment.
Thank you, Chairperson. The question was related to the matter on an unopposed roll. It was quite confusing. I thought you were going to deal with it.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think starting with the matter that was clarified by the MEC, just as a way of addition regarding the issues of the infighting, as it said by members of one political party, which brought problems there, as it is said. I think the portfolio committee should know that if other political parties were not in support of those members who accept by their party, those members on their own who does not form any quorum. That's one of the things. Therefore, whatever they were doing, that's exactly where I'm going. I'm not complaining about it. All I'm saying is that the fact is that they were doing that to indeed deepen the crisis. So that's what they should be saying. Instead of saying the other thing, they should be saying we're doing that to deepen the crisis. Yeah, I'm getting there. I'm getting there, Chairperson. The issue.
I'm saying you just line it up.
Okay, thanks. I'm saying the issue that they need to clarify in terms of the police. Remember what happened is that there was an interdict sought to interdict the police from entering the Mzansi. And they wanted that interdict to be made an order moving forward. And the court said no. So that's what, because you had a situation where if the court had allowed that, it meant that that precinct of the municipality was going to be controlled by private security. And the police would not be allowed to get in there and maintain all the, you know, property and the lives of people and so on. So that's why the court said, no, we can't make this a continuous order. The issue of the fraud measure.
The police now allowed.
Yes. That's what the MEC said, they were now allowed to enter, and the order was not made permanent as they requested. They had an order to interdict, and when they wanted that order to be made, and then that order was not granted to say make it permanent. That's what why the MEC is saying the matter was finalized as that. Yes. Because indeed you can't have the private security controlling any piece of land in the country. And saying police cannot be there. The issue of fraud. No. They did not necessarily, the order, they sorted an interdict, as I indicated. An interdict was to interdict the police from getting in there. So they wanted that at the next session to be made an order that you can't get here as a police. And the court said no. Yeah. Okay.
He knows exactly that he has passed the rule. In fact, he has passed a rule in Parliament that says inside Parliament only protection services is in him when it is strategic. But the police remain inside because it's the national people.
Sure.
All organs of state are guided by the police.
Yeah.
Unless a decision is taken by the board in terms of companies to do so. But the police general can't be away from an organ of state. And then, Nyambos knows this thing. In fact, in Melham, Nyambos, they agreed, all of them. That's why the AFF is very angry with them. Because they agree, both of them, to do so.
Okay. On the issue of fraud, we have reported that it is, and we have asked the question as to have we recovered. The investigations are still on. What has happened is that the commercial crime of the police has confiscated all the gadgets, and they are investigating. So where we are now, we can't say that we recover before the investigation are completed and people are arrested and so forth and so forth. So that's where the case is now. We have reported, as was indicated, the police are investigating. The AG has, we have complied, notifying the AG. And the AG, when they come, they also check our book. But of the importance is that we are putting measures to ensure that there's no recurrence of, including interacting with our bankers to make sure that everything is tightened. But as it is now, it is still under investigation. To this extent, we are happy, but we can't be happy that money has been defrauded. As and when we get the finality on the investigation, if there's anything that we have to do, will indeed take decisive action in that regard. If it points to probably some within the institution, will take decisive action. If it's external people, the law will take this course as well, and will recover.
We'll keep up with
it.
say the first is the interim interdict, and I'd like to read this out because it didn't prevent the police from doing their job. It said the respondents, as well as any officers and other persons acting on their behalf or instructions, are restrained from entering the premises at 54 Retief Street, Mokopani, without the written permission of the applicant's municipal manager, except insofar as it is necessary for the SAPS to perform its constitutional duties in terms of Section 205(3) of the Constitution to maintain public order. Sorry, let me just go to the next page. To protect and secure members of the public and their property, to protect and secure the property of the applicant. So it didn't prevent them from doing their job. It said that they had to get permission from the municipal manager if they wanted to come and interfere in council or its activities. And what was happening at the time was that staff were being prevented from going to work, and the water cannons were being turned on staff who were trying to do their job. And that was what the interdict was about. What happened in the subsequent court case was that the interdict was not extended. In other words, up until that point, the police were prevented from doing it, and they acted in contempt of that order, by the way, on the instructions of various officials, and I have the names of those. But the interdict was not extended past May, so it ran up until May 2015. That's the first point. The second relates to what the MEC was saying about the intervention, and in particular the interventions with regard to Busted, and the budget. Now, let me just refer the MEC to Section 139(4) of the Constitution, which says that if a municipality does not fulfill any of its obligations in terms of the Constitution or legislation to approve a budget, the relevant provincial executive must intervene by taking appropriate steps to ensure that the budget is approved, including, if necessary, the dissolving of the municipality. Now, I'm not asking for the municipality to be dissolved. I'm not asking for it to be placed under administration, because the Constitution actually says what can happen here, and that is approving a temporary budget. Now, my question was, did the MEC intervene in that regard, and if so, what steps did she take? And I'm not getting an answer. I'm being told, no, we've dealt with it appropriately. But it requires a provincial intervention in terms of Section 139(4), which requires a report to the Minister of Cooperative Governance and the National Council of Provinces. And that's what I was essentially asking in that section.
Just a few points. Firstly, just to say that we welcome the report, and I think it has gone a long way to addressing some of the key concerns that have been expressed by this committee in the past few months. But having said that, I wish to go on and raise some issues that I think require some response from the team. The first question I want to raise relates to the question of a slide. In terms of service, in relation to service delivery, or on the issue of sanitation, as well as refuse removal. This is you can see this on page 9 of the slide presentation. The question I'm raising here is just to acknowledge that one acknowledges the fact that 87% of the province is rural, and therefore it's understandable that one of the key issues that are addressing is the question of sanitation. But what I would really like to have an explanation on is the question of a slide on sanitation from 38% to 27%, and finally there's a cash there. Can we explain that? Secondly, there's also been a slide on refuse removal, 21%, 15%, discussion in relation to sanitation and in relation to refuse removal. The second issue that I should raise is if you look at the appointment of senior managers, when the figures aren't that bad, but in relation to Skukuni, there's a problem. There's a big decline. The numbers are fairly low, and this is cause for concern because Skukuni is a big municipality in terms of the population that it serves, and therefore if the right numbers, the right kind of people are not occupying the positions as a district, then you know, that's cause for concern, and it's something that needs to be addressed. Can you explain this? And with a view, of course, of clarifying, what is it that's going to be done in the near future to ensure that this anomaly is addressed? The third issue is really better placed under broad observations. One of the questions that's raised is the question of loss of revenue and poor collection of revenue is raised as a matter that's very critical and very important, and I agree with this. But to talk of poor collection of revenue without clarifying where the problem is actually occurring, is in relation to ensuring collection from business, is in relation to collections from residents, or is it in relation to other areas? If so, what are these areas? So that's the question there. On the IDP, I accept the point that is made about the quality of integrated development plans. But apart from saying that officials with lesser capabilities are sent to facilitate the process of the compilation of IDPs, what are the other factors that lead to IDPs not being the quality that they're supposed to be? On repairs and maintenance, are there specific areas of maintenance and repairs? Example, for instance, roads that present themselves as a specific kind of problem in the municipalities. We hear a lot about insufficient budget. I think many of us will accept the fact that this is a general problem at the municipal level. But sometimes we argue this general point in a way that's not very useful. Because we'll be able to say, this is where we think the budget should be. I'm pushing for that. But it somewhat assists to clarify that. The question of healing and rebuilding is a question that relates to the broader question that has been partially addressed of the history of Mogalakwena. From that is in there, issues related to expelled councillors, failure to vacate office, political and administrative instability. But the question that I want to raise in relation to this is, what is the long-term sustainability that we're looking forward to? But if it's not spelled out, then we won't work in that kind of balance. I think we need to be clearer. What is it that we think should be avoided at all costs, and the kind of direction that the municipality should work towards. On public water and related work, just to say, welcome and congratulate the municipality for the fact that there is some problematic approach in relation to big projects. That a small project is an attempt to say, let's look at what the bigger project to address the issues and so on. This somewhat also addresses the question that I raised earlier in relation to budget. Because if we don't have the idea in our heads, then it's very difficult to work in that kind of direction. The last question and comment, Chair, is in relation to leveraging development through engaging with the private sector. I think it's very useful that there's this kind of thinking in the province. It would be useful just to have a sense of what meetings are being held in the past, what engagement in the field of specifics have been pursued. For instance, one of the threats, I mean, not a positive development of mining and so on, but one of the threats is that each mining company and development and work will lead to the similar type of slums and so on that we saw in the early development of some of our cities and towns, including Joburg, Chibisti, you know, whatever else and so on. So it's very encouraging to hear if indeed there's this kind of forward planning in the municipalities about the kind of vision we have about what is likely to happen and develop. The question of housing or if you like human settlements may lead to, if not addressed properly, the situation where mining comes to an end, because mining has an end. And when the mines leave, we either have ghost towns, maybe some people say, let's not think that far, but we either have ghost towns, or even before that, we have a situation where their children, but they're not human settlement type amenities, football fields and so on. There are no schools, and no properly erected churches. There are no roads and so on and so on. So the engagement in relation to this the bigger picture, I think, may lead to us thinking differently on these matters, not just in the Mpopo, but elsewhere in the country, in Northwest, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, thanks, Chair, for the indulgence. I'm going to leave after this check, as I explained earlier. But maybe just to also thank the MEC and the provincial government for the intervention in the Mogalakwena municipality. And I think that in the manner in which they've intervened, the problem has been, they've almost found a lasting solution to the problem. But there are lessons to be learned from the whole debacle in Mogalakwena municipality. And one of the lessons for me is that I think matters need to be attended as early as possible. In my view, I think we took a while as the provincial government to intervene, because I remember there was a first intervention by the former MEC, which was taken to court, and I think the court said no, they shouldn't have intervened in the manner that they've intervened. So the lesson is to intervene timelessly, but also follow the proper procedure when intervening, so that the problem is not allowed to spiral out of control. Of course, we understand the problem and its genesis, because for me, it was an internal issue which was not properly handled within one political party. And among the councillors who were expelled, led by the municipal manager and the former mayor, and on the other hand, it was the former mayor and another group of councillors of one organization. So the problem is well understood, and how that problem was compounded and the contradictions were further sharpened by the involvement of other people from other parties. No, the problem was first internally within the party, but of course other parties then came in because they saw an opportunity. But that problem has been dealt with, and we're happy about how the province is intervening to resolve the problem. But I hope that we have taken lessons so that it doesn't happen in another municipality. The issue of an unopposed matter on the roll, I would still want to be clarified, is on slide number 92. The said application by the municipal manager was set down for 7 July and has since been removed, as same was set down on an unopposed motion roll. So is it my understanding that it was supposed to be set down as on an opposed motion roll instead of unopposed motion roll? So it was removed on the basis of that technicality. I just want to understand, because when the mayor was responding, he was dealing with a police case, which I properly understand. I understand that one, the interdict, which was not extended, which technically meant that the case then had then collapsed. But the mayor raised an issue about, so on this one of unopposed motion roll, I would still want to be clarified. The MEC or the presentation raised an issue about the difficulty in attracting municipal managers and CFOs, especially towards the end of the term. And now this also talks to the regulations which were amended, because the current regulations says that the section 56 or 57 managers, 56 managers are not supposed to be appointed on a contract basis. And this was clarified by the department that the amendment to the current regulation means that the only person in a municipality who is supposed to be appointed on a 5-year contract is, or on a term that does not exceed 5 years and 1 year after the election of the council, it's only the municipal manager. And that poses difficulties, because the municipal manager, speaking now, is the only employee who's contracted. The rest of the other employees, including the Section 56, are not appointed in terms of contract, according to the new regulations, amended regulations by the department. And that is the problem, Chair, because the municipal manager is part of the senior management team. Collectively, they are given certain responsibilities, and they are both supposed to account. Now, if you've got the municipal manager alone who's sitting with a contract, the rest of the other people are permanent employees, you're going to have a problem. So that is an issue for the committee, because it has got this unintended consequence of not having to attract the kind of skill that that is required. The issue of the relocation of the mining, there were two mining communities in Makgalagwe which were relocated by the mine. and subsequently there were lack of services there in those communities. I would really like to find out, I hear that there's engagement with the mining communities, but I would really want to find out, because this is a matter that I think the provincial government must take the mines to task. The mine relocate communities because they want to conduct mining activities, and as a result of that relocation, they don't contribute towards servicing of the areas where they've relocated the people. And that's a serious problem, because they would mine, after mining, they leave, and we're going to be sitting with the problem of rehabilitating even those mines. So I want to get a view from the provincial government. What exactly are they doing in terms of getting a commitment from that mining company that was involved? Lastly, Chen, you see, this thing that has been happening in relation to the demarcation, it first started in, what is that? It started in Merafo, and then it was in Matatiele. And then it went to Musi. And then now it was what is that area? In Malamulele. It's a problem. It's a problem because particularly this one of Mogalakwena. I don't want to speak about the politics of the other ones, but mainly it encourages a situation where our communities will even want to determine their own boundaries without having to look at the other factors that are supposed to be taken into account in terms of the requirement and the framework that has been put in place. But more concerning is that this one of Malamulele is bringing into the fore the spectrum of tribalism, which we must encourage. And the manner in which the Municipal Demarcation Board was still going to engage with them, and to some degree the provincial government and COPTAS reacted to that situation, we seem to be rewarding those kind of things. And you see now what I called the unintended consequence, because there is a reaction, a negative reaction from the other side. So whatever municipality, the new municipality that has been mooted, is now creating problems, because the other area, which is also dominated by the vendor-speaking people, they are refusing to integrate into the area. This morning they were reporting one of the community leaders was arrested, was appearing in court, the secretary of the forum there. So we are now engaged in what is essentially a tribal feud, which gets encouraged because of our action, of acceding to create a new municipality to appease the community of Malamulele. It's becoming a problem, because if we don't stop it there, it's going to replicate throughout the province, throughout the country. It's going to be tribalism. So I really want to get comment from the MEC, because tribalism is a very bad tendency. Rwanda is sitting with the scars of tribalism between the Hutu and the Tutsi. And I was saying one day that probably our people who are still trapped in that kind of orientation we must take them to Rwanda so that they can see the effect of tribalism in that country. They can visit some of the areas where there was serious massacre of one tribe by the other, so that they can understand how bad is that thing. But anyway, thank you very much, Chair. Overall, we are happy with the report, NEC. You must go back and do your work together with the new leadership.
No, thanks, Chair. Mine is most of the issues have been covered, but I also want to join those that thank the team for preparing such an elaborate and also explaining some of the issues that we have been grappling with and having some difficult to understand, particularly in the Mafarakwene matters. But I'm also concerned, Chair, joining where Phil has left it on Makopane or on this new proposed demarcation, that since that province is mostly rural, if you want to come up with a new, but anyway, we'll engage with the demarcation board. If you want to come up with a new municipality in terms of service delivery, are those people going to not to be having difficulties in terms of service? As a rural area, we must guide against those things, but we are still going to engage on the demarcation board. And on Mokopane, if you look at the rate there, the service that was slide, which slide was that, which was dealing with Mokopane, water challenges. I just wanted to know what plans are you having to address this water challenges as early as now, because before it becomes a major crisis. We would like to know your plans that you have in trying to move up with the same pace of the development in the area and your plans. Lastly, Chair, is the issue of these big three, the former mayor, the municipality mayor, the former municipality manager, and the 23 that were busy taking the municipality to court up and down? I understand they lost some of these cases. Are we getting back the recovery of that money? Are they losing their cases, including with cost? If so, we need to recover this money, because they must not be left without this money being recovered. I'm told, if you look at the report, we knew that the municipality manager, the former municipality manager, were taking the municipality, the leadership, engaging on the leadership with the cost, using money for the municipality. If those were the cases, really we must find a way to recover that money if he has lost the case. We must find a system where he pays back, including his allies. We don't know who are funding them, but this is the high time if they lost the case that they might pay back. We'll appreciate that, MEC, to ensure that you follow those two terms. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Allow me, Chairperson, also to follow my colleagues on welcoming this report, and also the answer from the MEC and the colleagues, including the mayor. Chairperson, I don't have questions except to ask them, because already some of the questions have already been answered and also asked by my colleague. I just want to check if in Mahalakwena there is no budget system there, because there's a new area that are showing there. and then if there is a package of payment, I want to check if when the MEC or the mayor are going to eradicate that package system. I don't want to sound like that I have an easy mona at the issue of Malamale, and I will leave it like that, Chair. Because I say I'm the sender. Thank you, Chair.
I just said that the leadership generally, they will take another view. Just worried about this thing called tribalism. Because it's not tribalism. In fact, I think we can cause more harm to our country by emphasizing what is not really tribalism. Tribalism is when a person who speaks Zulu says I'm superior than you because you speak Xhosa. Our people are not saying that. They are complaining about mistrust in terms of distribution of resources. That if you are this side, you won't have resources. If you are this side, you don't have resources. And that there are people in a similar situation. That if you are in KZN, you are going to have more access to resources, where the Eastern Cape won't have resources. They've never really, none of our people ever stood up anywhere and said that I'm superior than you because you speak this language. Because otherwise I think we're going to cause problems to our country. Because if the analysis is that Madam Lela's situation, Matadela's situation is a problem, it's not. None of the people who are moving there were saying that I'm not going to Madam Lela because I'm superior, because I'm better speaking. None of them is saying that. They're only saying that if I move this side, I won't have water. Because the provision of water this side is much poor. That's a bigger issue. That's a bigger issue, I'm sorry, because I'm just worried, really, that we may end up talking something that is not there. And we're not in sense anyway. I'm sorry, you know this. People who speak Xhosa and Zulu in Malamlela, all of them anyway, say we don't go to Eastern Cape because of resources. We'll be far away from Durban as a center of activity. It's just a resources problem and distribution of these resources. That's why people here are complaining. In fact, Rambi, people from Murako, they were really saying, you are not going to be Northwest because you are much closer to Gauteng for resource distribution purposes. Never say that, no, we are superior because we are not worse than people in house. Never say that. Because I think once ourselves at the political level, we want to emphasize something that is not there. We may then in our mind of our people injecting a wrong idea. None of them anyway. In fact, I've never heard a single one of them saying that I'm superior because I'm speaking this language. Never say that. Because the tribalism is about that. That we are superior in terms of our culture, our language, all these things. I'm not saying that. I just say that you are not having resources. You don't have water this side. This side has water. Simply means that leadership must provide water for them. Because we may end up causing unnecessary harm to our country by emphasizing that it's not there at all. Because the whole issue is just resources. Resources will happen between Alexander and Panchin, between all these areas, that's resources issue. And then our people in some of the area in Gowan is about resources. Not about that I'm superior because I'm better speaking. No, that is tribalism. It's not separate from racism. It's not really different what people are saying. In fact, I think in my view, Bamsanda, we must take us out those issues. Maybe it happens somewhere, but it's not what our people are saying where they complain about this boundary issue. It's just resources distribution. Nothing else. Of course, there's some patronage in other area, but it's not really about superiority, that we are superior because we are speaking. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that I can't go this side because the resources won't come this side. Why remove me where there are resources and take me where there are no resources? That's the point that is there. The leadership intervention should be informed by the real issue. Because we're informed by wrong things. In studies of demarcation, that when you speak this language, come this side, when our people are not even saying that. We have a problem in Alexander because in 1 year we have to divide into 100% because of the people from Malawi, from Zambia, that are there. And then what do we say? I'm saying it's important that we articulate it correctly. And the particular China is where we have an impact. Because once we start articulating wrongly, you create this impression in the minds of our people, it can cause more harm. by misinterpreting the real situation there. We wanted to talk. Bamkhana was just intervening, not because you said that. I thought I must intervene on this, and for ourselves to move on. Yes. Yes.
No, thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, no, Chair. We would also like to congratulate the AIDS Women's League for a successful conference that they held from the 5th to the 8th of August in 2015. Chair, I hope that today we are going to put the matter of Mogalakwena that has been an issue for a long time. We're going to put it to rest today. It also welcoming, I would, because I've been covered in most of the issues already, but I would like to appreciate the MEC for having taken leadership in dealing with the issues of all maybe the municipalities that had challenges, including Mogalakwena. But on my issues on LED, but yes, we do see that there are strategies in place. The LED forums are functional, and we also see that there is a good work that has been done by CWP in terms of creating some jobs there. But in future, maybe we will also appreciate it if we can get a report on new initiatives that will be boosting the economy there and also creating more job opportunities for people. We will appreciate it if new ideas, creativity, you know, in terms of our LED strategies, not only maybe to rely on the programs that are already there by the government, but if the province working together with the municipalities can bring up new initiatives. I think.
To the municipality to provide services. Now, he doesn't have truck, yes. He doesn't have truck, one. And number two, he doesn't have manpower. He's using the laborers of the municipality. What is the third one? Yes, truck, labor. Yes.
problem here is that the residents at the Elias Mutuality, in particular the town itself, are complaining of an amount which was actually demanded by the municipality end of July, 1,500, which was actually demanded by the municipality, saying that these were arrears dating from the time when they moved into their houses. And some of them were there for 20, 30 years. So, this is the explanation that was given to the residents when they said 1.5. Why, for what is this amount for? They said, no, it's arrears. So, the MEC, this one, I know you may not have an answer, but I'm giving it to you so that back home you can sort of inquire into the legitimacy of this payment to the municipality. Another issue also at Elias Mutuality is the issue of security. Let me say the municipality at the property, the game farm, they sold the entire game with a view to setting up the farm for residential purposes. Now the security that was looking after the game is still there, even though the game is sold, is still there. And if the argument is they are looking after the farm itself, just few paces from the farm, there are squatters there. Now they have actually cut all the trees in the farm, and they've also the whole fencing has been taken away, and the security is sitting there, and they are actually being paid, the company is being paid by the municipality, even though there is nothing to look after. So these two issues are easy. I'm just giving them to you so that back home you can try and inquire into them. But the one of which is pressing is that one of the securities appointed last December at Mahalakwena without the due process being followed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. MEC, Mayor, Speaker, all of you colleagues, if you want to comment, answer some of the questions and make some comment. If answers are not there, of course, we'll come back and have a discussion again and see how to take the society forward. Honorable Mayor, do you want to start?
Thank you, Chairperson. I just felt I should start so that the MEC can wrap up if he has comments to make. The first issue will be the one of the security companies that were appointed. Indeed, they were not appointed procedurally. What we have done since we came in, we have assessed that, and the first thing we did was to reduce the numbers of the security personnel significantly, because the situation has improved from 247 to 128. In the main, they are guarding our key infrastructure for service delivery, because what happened during that period, there were people who were starting to sabotage our pumps, you know, for water, to look at key things and make sure that there's instability in the community. So that we could not immediately say we are just stopping all of them. But what we have done, we have then, started doing it on a month-to-month, and in a short distance, we'll be re-advertising to have the process, you know, done properly. the issue of the recovery of the cost, yes, working together with the department, I think NEC will come into that, because some of the cases were cited, the municipality, the department, and so on. Indeed, management, our management, is collating that information, and together with the department will ensure that indeed cases where they were dismissed with costs, those costs are recovered. The budget system, no, as far as we are concerned, there's no budget system in our area of municipality. In fact, we don't have the team structure in the municipality. The major areas are the ones where, as was indicated, the relocated areas, where the mine, Anglo, what they did was to put up the system where they come and, after some time, come and suck these things and go and take them to the main sewer plant of the municipality. But those structures have since, most of them collapsed, and people have been, you know, started to erect pit trailers and so on. So we'll be engaging the mine. Our view will be to also look at the social labor plan and see if in the social labor plan, for instance, we cannot readjust the budget to address the immediate issues, in particular around sanitation and water in those particular areas. The issues of initiatives, new initiatives in terms of the LED and so forth, we dealing with that together with what we are doing, the plans, and I think there was a question around the plans. We're rolling out bulk infrastructure for water, electricity, sanitation, to ready ourselves to be able to, you know, when the economic activity around that area happens, we do have the bulk infrastructure to deal with that, including also a bulk infrastructure for social needs, like the water for potable water, not only for industrial and so on. I think the MEC has alluded to the issue in their report about the water that will be sourcing from Flagbushiel to Mokopane, and also water that will be sourcing from Dwaren Dry Dam, you know, for the immediate or the midterm kind of challenges that we are having. I think there was also an issue around what are the long-term sustainability matters that we're looking at, and what are the lessons that we have learned there. I think one of the major lessons we have learned, and I think some of them would indeed be matters that the ruling party would deal with. If you're talking about issues of the military councillors being expelled, and so that's a matter that the political party will deal with moving forward, so that you don't have recurrence of, you know, this kind of issues in terms of who gets deployed and, you know, the processes that deal with that. But the other issue is that during that process, staff was sort of politicized and had to choose sides and so on. One of the things we are doing is to depoliticize the staff in terms of matters of, you know, they focus on matters of their work as staff. And that's why NEC talked about, alluded to the issue of mediations and other things and so on, and making sure that, you know, the employee assistant programs are rolled out. But the key thing that we did moving there, which has assisted in terms of stabilization, is to engage community structures, the traditional leaders, civic structures. You would know that in Mukhalagwena there was a structure that was always in there and protesting and so on. We've engaged the leadership of those people, even though sometimes they're raising issues that we might not be comfortable with, but just engage them and make sure that you know, issues that they are raising, if they've got to do with service delivery, we attend to those matters. These are matters, for instance, in some instances we find that people raise issues that have got to do with disciplinary processes of employees and whatever. We will say, if you are leaders of communities, you must be concerned about service delivery. The matters of a DC and between an employee and employer should be located within that context. So that, you know, one of the gaps that was there was, you know, also that gap of closing the gap between our communication, the response that we do to community, and I think that has improved tremendously. The program of rolling out that infrastructure, massive infrastructure for the services that we've talked about, also caters for the social amenities of social infrastructure, including the issues of housing that the MEC will talk to. You've seen that already in the previous financial, you allocated about over 900, I think 700 of housing units. And in the medium term to moving forward, there's also an issue around the gap market that together with the department we are addressing, so that that sector also gets the issues attended to. In conclusion, we want to commend the input that members of the portfolio committee have made, and we take them very seriously. And going back, we've learned lessons in terms of other inputs that were made here, and all the inputs, in fact, that were made here. And there's areas that we have noted that we have to go back and work much harder and ensure that we improve and Mahalagwena becomes what it has to be and a pride to the people of that area and the government at this level. Thank you.
Thanks. I want to start with the lessons learned. It's indeed that from government, provincial government point of view, we think the issues of Mahalagwena started back in 2015, but they were made to recur and move without proper attention. And for that, we think the program Back to Basics is now assisting us to say, let's identify challenging areas and so that we intervene and timely, and we try to do that, and we'll try to make sure that we really indeed give the necessary support to the municipality at the right time. There was an issue that relates to the sanitation on page 9 that Honorable Masondo was talking to. Unfortunately, that document, he was saying we are deteriorating, and we were giving statistics from back in 1996, in 2001, in 2011. That's because we put 1996 at the end, coming this way. We're saying we've improved from, in 1997, in 1996 we were at 77% on water. We are now at 86%. So on your sanitation, in 1996, the information was not available to be recorded. It was only recorded in 2001, and we are saying we are sitting at 38%. And indeed, through our both the National Development Plan and Limpopo Development Plan, we have now put targets for the next 5 years in order to increase the issue relating to both service, sanitation, and waste removal. That is one of our key areas where we are increasing those targets for the next 5 years. And one of the issues we've looked into on service delivery, on the water sanitation, the water summit that we have, we've looked at a number of issues. One of the key things that affects our municipalities and our communities in the province is the water allocation matter. Who's having more water between domestic, agriculture, mining? And domestic is the least area where we are getting less than 20% in terms of the water that has been allocated. So that is one of the key areas that we were discussing. And while we've made a presentation to you to say, on MIG and the monies that we think we're going to be receiving in the next 3 years, which goes to 18 billion, with the minister, we're coming up with a proposal of saying, why don't we have this money into one pot and have major priority areas so that whatever intervention we make an intervention that at the end of the day does an impact to our community. So that is what we are looking at in the next few years, to make sure that in the next allocations that we are getting together with our water service authority, the water and sanitation department, how do we plan together and put the money together and make sure that this money, wherever it goes, it really, one, it will assist in terms of the expenditure, but two, it will assist in terms of service, accelerating the issue of service provision. On the issue of the repairs and maintenance, it's one of the issues which we have looked at to say some of these projects that were planned, they were planned without operation maintenance budget, which we are now saying any project that gets planned, there must be an operation maintenance budget so that that infrastructure is really taken care of. On the IDP, the issue that we're raising there is the issue of sector departments that when they go to participation on the ID process, they send junior officials. And that matter has now been, is now receiving attention from the Premier Intergovernmental Forum, where the Premier himself is saying to the MEC that whatever you do must get integrated into the municipal plan so that we avoid a situation where there is that non-alignment of some of the projects to both the IDP and the Limpopo Development Plan. In terms of the mining areas, we have met already with Anglo. They are prepared to do what they are supposed to do as their responsibility in the area of Mogalakwena. Is that because of the instability that was there? The council was not able to deal with the same council issues which we are now engaging with the mayor that we need to fast-track, because if we don't solve those problems there, we might end up remaining with challenges. The Elias Mutua lady was noted the matter. We will follow it up and we'll be able to update the committee on that one. The other issues, could we just accept that we are taking them as input and going back we'll be able to look in terms of how do we deal with those issues, but want to appreciate the support we get from the portfolio committee as well. I know you've been sitting on our neck. You had to do that. It's your job. You are doing the oversight. We thought you would come to Mogalakwena because I'm worried that some of the things that the people say, they say from the hearsay. So we thought we'll have an opportunity to come and have the first-hand experience so that when we talk about these things that we are able to refer to the actual issues that we're able to see. But anyway, we now think we have brought the full picture for you to be able to see while you are in Cape Town. And lastly, Chair, I'm happy with the comment you made in relation to Malamlele and Vuan, that indeed, the people of Vuan say, why do you take us from Makadu, a well-established municipality, to a new entity that we are not sure whether that new entity will be able to provide the necessary services or not? And Malamulele as well, they will say, we're not sure if Tulamela is really giving us the necessary service. How can we have an entity that can service us better? I think you were really spot on raising that matter, and I'm happy you raised it in the manner that it really gives its context so that when we discuss it, we're able to get the necessary solution to the problem. Thanks, Chair.
MSC, I think we will Nyambos are decisive and Bamsanda. These are deciders who take decision about where we go. They may decide that one day we just land in Mogalakwena and see what is happening when Honorable Speaker and Honorable Mayor see the security police that may have wanted to come in there. We can't blame them though. They represent their interest. If you represent the interests of those who have money, surely they have a right to ask for the money's class. Those who represent the interests of the poor, you are sad. You will always have to ask on the basis of the poor. And then those contradictions should be appreciated. If you may have yelled at your Shayaban, surely you may have been coming. So, anyway. Because now I have me here. And now you intervene and who deepen a crisis as our way. That's what you want. And then, no, colleagues, I think the report has been very helpful. And then it assisted us to understand exactly the entire local cabinet, we profit. And that must be why you are also a resident of the province yourself. You know exactly what is happening. It seems yourself also you are very happy now that we are on track. We have resolved the problem of Mogalakwena. We are dealing with the question of mining that Upan was raising. They are engaging with them now, ensure that things work, the workers not politicized, not taking sides, lot of work, of course, that we have to do. Some of the issues is what we have to do, separate from what the state should do. Because when we talk about back to basis, we indicated the problems. But what are these problems that cause the municipality not to function? And all of us, we know. And then we must deal with those problems that are not state-related amongst ourselves, and then deal with other issues that are state-related, money, budget, and all those matters that are necessary on that. But I think it's very helpful that we have this discussion. And surely, numbers, I think we are happy now that the matter of Mahala Buena is closed. It's closed in terms of issues that we have been hearing about. It's not closed in terms of the functioning. The functioning will always continue to observe the function of Mahala Buena and also observe the provision of services throughout the province. And then the province or the rural area generally, broadly speaking. I thought it's 60% rural now, I'm told 87%, then it's very big. Then providing services in those communities is very expensive. Village to village is also a very expensive area. We appreciate competitive banks. Initiative on this issue. We hope we'll be able to link up with department from time to time, have discussion about this issue. Happy that we're already meeting with the Department of Sanitation, Water and Sanitation, have a discussion on this. Because in all rural areas of our country, water and sanitation is the issue. They're not even roads, sometimes roads in other areas, but generally, water and sanitation is a big, big, big problem. Because many boreholes dry out, they say, what do you do? And water can't be saved, will come in 20 years' time. You must do it today because people must survive. And I think it's a bigger challenge that we are facing. And, all of us who are in governance, we are mindful of that, and we have to work it out and ensure we work together to ensure that we raise some of the issues. Thank you for the report, and a very good report is assisting us. And then, thank you also, MEC, to make yourself available. And hopefully we have taken you away from the appropriation committee. And, she's going there. She's there. Oh, the ones late. But later. Oh, on Sunday also. Okay. Hey. Seems that a member of National Executive Committee is a magistrate in Kwaambi. And then the fight will be about distribution of power and resources. And then that is a Rwandan situation. Anyway. But the point raised, I tell you, congratulations, Honorable MEC, a National Executive Member of the ANC Women's League. We had your program, and generally, without Nyambos, I support it. I generally support it. Nyambos, of course, I must convince him to support you on the program. It's a very important program, and it's a very important one. I think we'll work together, colleagues, in one other forum that we enter. But take care as you enjoy Cape Town. Surely those who are from the North colleagues, must not just leave Cape Town without going around enjoying it. Not come and go, just enjoy it a little bit. When you go back, now you are wiser than ever before. Wiser than ever before. Then we'll be able to deliver and deal with other issues there, mobilizing of the community to be part of your delivery mission. But the issue that we have been raising, and you see, that you must never project aid as if it's a delivery state. We facilitate the delivery of services, but people themselves must be part of that process of delivery. Because unless we do that, the whole thing doesn't work. That's why Baba Mtibu, he shuts us on by record. The bush is gone, but at least some police are taking care of the bush. Yeah, okay. But that's the real challenge for this that we are facing. In my view, thank you for this, and thank for honorable members. And I think it's a very good engagement. From time to time, then Honorable Mayor, when we are that side ourselves, for oranges purposes, we may via to your area and have some discussion. and we are going to do that. Some of the visits will be announced. Some of the visits won't be announced. You just hear Sisi Kukuni. Please don't chase us away. You just know that we are there unannounced because we want to see things by ourselves. Because sometimes when we tell you, you take us where it's good only. Don't forget that we are South Africa. We are making laws that cover the entire country. If you are giving wrong information, you also make wrong laws, generally speaking. Therefore, that's why ourselves will go there and announce. And then the mayor, when you wake up there, we are there already, we are meeting with you. And then don't be surprised if you do so. Won't be intention to undermine your authority. But we are trying to distribute power equally to every sector in the society. And thank you for that. Chief, we thank you very much. I hope that now you are managing your team. You are weeping much more stronger than ever before. And then, Speaker, thank you for this. And thank you, colleagues, and sorry. Go well in the safe life if you are living. We are going to engage. The national member, of course, is always in Gauteng. Because all meetings are in Gauteng. There's no national meeting that is outside Gauteng. It's on Makondo Street. To say Gauteng is a graduation is Makondo Street. And then everyone meets there. Therefore, MEC, you are going to meet with you every day in Gauteng. You are welcome. And then congratulations, colleagues, for the great conference of the Women's League. Well attended. The mood was very high. Very clean everywhere. And I think if the female colleagues are doing this, you'll be able to defeat it patriarchy in society. You defeat this because that's the bigger enemy. It's not Mtaganu the enemy of women. It's the system. You must defeat the system, not me. That's why anyway, MEC, you said since the formation of your organization that you are fighting against the system, not against white people. Because white people generally are not a system, we are running a system, but we are fighting against the system of apartheid and racism. Even now, we are fighting against the system of racism. Because it's a system, this thing. Individual may not be racist, but this system is racist. In fact, in America, I think that they are experiencing this thing daily now, racist in general. That we must crush the numbers as we crush the patriarchy, indoor. They are crushing it. This is really a woman congress now. They have gone through their conference. I'm supporting them on that. Crushing the system. And then we'll be working together, colleagues. And then we'll be able to make things happen. Well, good luck, colleagues. And enjoy yourself. There's tea and coffee in some trees. Just be at home. This is your parliament. Thank you very much.